Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Yud Gimel B'mal Cheshvan, Parashas Vayera, Tafshinayin Zion, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 13 November 2016, webcasting from Israel. Schizophrenic, confused Israel. Today, Sunday, which is the first day of the week for Jewish people, the cabinet met, as it does every Sunday in Jerusalem, and the endless tension over the over Judea and Samaria was the topic for the nth time. The High Court, in its recent go-round on the Jewish communities reborn in Judea, root of the word Jewish, and Samaria, ordered that the rest of the Jewish homes in Amona, not destroyed with consummate ugliness 6 years ago, must be destroyed on 25 December. MKs from the Prime Minister's own Likud party and the Jewish Home Party, led by Education Minister Naftali Bennett, were pushing this morning for a bill in the Ministerial Legislative Committee to rebrand these illegal homes as legal. It would also grant full Israeli citizenship or sovereignty over the Jews in Judea and Samaria, if not the land. Since 1967, civilians have always been subject to army rule. For example, one way the army and police here have dealt with the infinitesimally small percentage of youth wanting to take the law into their own hands and exact revenge on Arabs at random is to order them out of their homes and bar them from living in them. They have the right, the army does, to bar them from living over the Green Line. They have to find someplace else to live. This is clearly martial law, which is perfectly justifiable, but it's also unduly oppressive and restrictive on the rest of the hundreds of thousands who now make their homes in Judea and Samaria after thousands of years of Jews living everywhere on the planet but here. And now we Jews are back, and much of the world has yet to accept that as a good thing and a right thing. Yesterday, the latest new UN Special Rapporteur on the human rights situation of the Neo-Philistines, the Canadian Michael Link, chastised Israel for killing terrorists when they should disarm them with minimal force. Arrest them, but don't kill them. One of the unintended benefits of being a persecuted Jew is observing the anti-Jew goy brain at work. Sometimes they're so crazy in making demands of Jews that are made of no other people, like the global demand worldwide made by anti-Jews, Gentile and Jewish alike, that Israel decide to order all 420,000 Jews from their homes in Judea and Samaria and order them to go live someplace else. And not only that, Israel will order all its military personnel and equipment to vacate these hills and retreat back behind the 1949 ceasefire line. This is the so-called two-state solution. And today, thanks to the global aggression against this tiny state, today's cabinet meeting grappled with, and again, not for the first time, the fate of the families at Amona, and really the fate of 2,000 other Jews living likewise in less than authorized communities. Though when I think about it, I'm unwittingly passing a lie on to you. I mean, the so-called outposts were not given formal documentation for their establishment, but the Israelis responsible for providing electricity, telephone lines, cell phone towers, roads, water, all came through and helped them. To say they are authorized or unauthorized is also to accuse all these public utilities of collusion in this illegal activity. Like the chatter today in the States, will or will not Obama pardon Hillary for her monumental breaches of security statutes, her email open to the whole world, her corruption of pay-for-play meetings with foreign diplomats and the like. Obama has to pardon her. Because if she's guilty of all those email offenses, he participated in them. By pardoning her, he protects himself, this wicked Muslim villain. And so all these so-called illegal settlements, if illegal, have been catered to by all these public utilities, which implicates them, too, in the crime. But, of course, thinking that way is in nobody's head. What's really going on is the constant tug of war over Judea and Samaria, between Israel and the rest of mankind, which results from world anti-Jewry having decided in their black hearts that Judea and Samaria are really the West Bank. That belongs to the ancient Palestinians, who have been living in the West Bank for thousands of years. We just read yesterday, Parashat Lech Lecha, the reading in the Torah, which means literally, go to yourself. Hashem, God gave, said to Abraham, go from your land, your birthplace, to a land I will show you. And what Palestinian nationalism is in disguise is Islam that denies the promise of this land to Abraham and his seed via Yitzchak and Yaakov, Isaac and Jacob. Palestinian nationalism is a frontal assault on Judaism, on the promise of this land to the children of Israel, Jacob Israel. We saw some of this bloodless aggression last month via the activity of the United Nations, the nations united around no issue in the world more than they are united around the resurrection of Israel, that they so hate. The United Nations voted twice last month for Islamic rule over Mount Moriah, a.k.a. the Temple Mount, where Abraham bound his son, Yitzchak, for a sacrifice. That never happened, said UNESCO, the educational and scientific and cultural organization of the de facto planetary government. They declared that Mount Moriah belongs to the Muslims, who say that the almost sacrifice took place in Mecca, hundreds of kilometers to the southeast in the Arabian Peninsula, and the person tied up was Ismail. As Islam is a frontal assault on Judaism, so is the anti-Jew consensus today that Judea and Samaria belong to Islam too. Palestinian nationalism is just a smokescreen. Israel's real enemy is not the Palestinians, but the Muslims, especially Arab Muslims, of the seed of Ishmael, that thief. This is the thesis of my book that I hope to see published someday in hardcover in stores. And while the book is an encyclopedia of anti-Jew aggressions by the Arabs here, they never stop and never stop inadvertently exposing the lie of Palestinian nationalism. So if there is a new edition of my book in the front, I will dedicate one whole page to a two-line headline from last May on the BBC website, which was, Palestinian leaders have formally opened a new national museum in the occupied West Bank, even though it does not yet have any exhibits, close quote. And to add to that, we had last week news of, quote, an unofficial Palestinian cultural embassy in Tel Aviv, this is from Jerusalem Post, called Palestine House. And last evening, Palestine House hosted an olive harvest festival in what is called the Jaffa Art Salon. And of course, the name Jaffa is the name of the town the Arabs want to repossess and drive out all the Israelis. And of course, this cultural embassy showcasing Palestinian culture was enabled by Israelis who bonded with them in their mutual desire to drive all the Jews from Judea and Samaria. It was also revealing that the funding for this Palestine House does not come from Palestinians. Criminals like Mahmoud Abbas all have millions as a result of the Oslo abomination, but they are not listed as philanthropic donors. No, Palestine House is, according to the Jerusalem Post's Palestinian nationalist of Jewish extraction, Adam Razgon, funded by donations of $50,000 from the Swedish embassy in Tel Aviv and $100,000 from the Dutch embassy in Tel Aviv. To quote Dana Carvey's church lady, isn't that special? Like so many of the NGOs funded by foreign governments, like the PA itself, that lives off foreign donations, the Palestinian nationalist movement is as much a European operation as an Arab-Muslim one. We learned last week as well that the European Union, meaning the bureaucracy in Brussels, is going to sue Israel over those flimsy dwellings it built in Area C and that Israel demolished. It really was and is just another aggression by Europeans against Jews after millennia of aggression. And this one following the EU's decision to label Israeli commodities produced in Judea and Samaria. The war against Jewish life reborn in the heart of the land of Israel, home to Hebron and the burial cave of the Jewish patriarchs and matriarchs, home to Bethlehem, site of Rachel's tomb, whose passing was commemorated today in ceremonies at the tomb. The world resists the Jewish return to the tomb of her son, Joseph the Righteous, in Shechem, that the Arabs call by a Greek name given to it by Romans, Nablus. It's more evidence of the absence of Palestinian culture throughout history. But don't tell that to the Swedes and the Dutch, and surely the cosmopolitan Israelis in the Tel Aviv municipality, who licensed the establishment of Palestine House. So today's cabinet meeting this morning saw only the latest discussion over the fate of Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria, in large part thanks to the Israeli High Court that believes with the enemy Gentiles that Amona must be destroyed.
וחוצות ירושלים כל ששון וכל שמחה מהרה השם לוקנו נשמע באר יהודה וחוצות ירושלים כל ששון וכל שמחה עוד נשמע באר יהודה וחוצות ירושלים וכל ששון וכל השמחה כל חצם וכל הקהל עוד נשמע באר יהודה וחוצות ירושלים וכל ששון וכל השמחה כל חתן וכל קלה מהרה השם לוקנו נשמע באר יהודה וחוצות ירושלים כל ששון וכל שמחה מהרה השם לוקנו נשמע באר יהודה וחוצות ירושלים כל ששון וכל שמחה עוד נשמע באר יהודה וחוצות ירושלים וכל ששון וכל השמחה כל חתם וכל הקהלה עוד נשמע באר יהודה וחוצות ירושלים וכל ששון וכל השמחה כל חתם וכל קהלה
Oh, 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 oh.
Truth be told, the endless tug of war over Judea and Samaria is very much a function of a rational, sober Israel, all of its governments, who know of the world's hostility to our victory in 1967 and how the world demands we return these hills to those who had used them to try to destroy our country, which was even tinier at that time. This is one reason why Israel has never boldly asserted its rights to keep the spoils of that war, which also happened to be licensed, so to speak, to the Jewish people by the League of Nations. The mandate contained a proviso enabling the mandatory authority, the Brits, to cut off eastern Palestine for an exclusively Arab entity that left the remainder west of the river for the Jews. That was some 23% of the mandatory map that they called the League of Nations Palestine. And that's what happened. And so when Jordan crossed the river in May 1948, it had no authorization from the League to do that, the League that had created Jordan. But since the Jews were denied Holy Jerusalem by that invasion, denied Hebron, Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Shechem, and lots of other holy and historic Jewish sites, the world said nothing. For the next two decades, there were no Jordan apartheid weeks on university campuses to protest the denial of statehood to the Palestinians living on the West Bank, and that's because in those two decades, there was not one resolution in the United Nations referring to a Palestinian people with the right to a state in Judea and Samaria. King Hussein ruled charismatically as a direct descendant of Muhammad, and since he did not see in the Arabs in Judea and Samaria a Palestinian nation entitled to its own state, the world said nothing. Only when Israel routed the Jordanians from these hills did the world discover the putatively Paleolithic Palestinians and their ancient culture. So Israel has maintained the status quo for almost a full half century because of world hostility, but also because of its own mishagas. It's a mishmash. It's all mixed up. Its own post-Jewish fantasy that Israel could sell back, so to speak, the spoils of Judea and Samaria. Really only, though, some of these areas. And the Arabs, these Muslims, would be satisfied with the partial return of the spoils taken. This is a much, much overlooked fact, that even the Oslo cultists harbored the fantasy that Israel would get to keep some of the spoils. For example, Holy Jerusalem and the Gush Etzion settlements reconstituted, and the so-called settlement blocks, that's one of them, and certainly the major communities like Ariel, founded by Shimon Peres in Male Adumim, also by Peres and the rest of the leftist ruling class. And of course, there would be no returning, they believed, to the status quo in Hebron, when Jews were barred from the Cave of the Machpelah. This was the fantasy even of Yossi Beilin, a true fantasy for ignoring everything that is known about the Arabs, about the Muslims, about the history of Jews living under their Muslim oppressive rule. The late Shimon Peres, a truly uneducated man, preened himself on being a forward-looking visionary toward a better future. He even liked to say that he did not like history because you can't change it. Shimon the visionary wanted a future different from the past, and for this he was admired. And so for the sake of this Israeli fantasy, Israelis have imagined a peace agreement in which Jerusalem remains under Jewish rule, major communities too, and with this the Arabs would be content. This is the two-state solution in their mind. And so Israel has, since 1967, kept Judea and Samaria in a kind of legal suspended animation in which Jordanian law, mandatory law, Turkish law, and Israeli military law have all lived together in uneasy chaos. I mean, what in the name of self-respect has prevented Israel from junking completely these three other legal systems? What has stopped them is, I think, their fears of the Goyim and their own fantasy of peace with the Arabs, that the Arabs simply do not share. Absent from the media coverage here of this ongoing tug of war between the Prime Minister and his contentious cabinet ministers is any mention of the existence of the Muslim spy still in the White House, regardless of last Tuesday's election. Practically daily here since last Tuesday, there have been fears in Jerusalem that the NBA in the Oval Office will stab us in the back on the way out. And Donald Trump has spoken of canceling every one of this dictator's executive orders, the serial aggressor against the American way of life and rule. And in the face of this humiliating prospect, this anti-Jew could want to vent his bitterness on us. It would be totally in character for him to do that. He slapped us in the face within 10 minutes of taking the oath of office in 2009. And then the next day, in the midst of the worst economic crisis since the 1930s, his first call as president was to a known bloodthirsty Holocaust-denying Muslim murderer, Abu Mazen. It would then be fitting, like a bookend to his rule, a musical coda, a recapitulation of his first days in office, aggressing against us, the children of Israel, one more time, the target of Ishmael's murderous envy, since Ishmael was expelled from Abraham's community, even though he was Abraham's firstborn. I sometimes think of that whenever I see the cliché, the three Abrahamic religions. Anyone who says that has not read the Bible, in which we read of Ishmael's expulsion because he was such a wild ass of a man and potential murderer of his half-brother Yitzhak. It was Abraham himself who decided that Ishmael was not Abrahamic. Yeah, the resistance to Israel's return to Eretz Yisrael. Israel, he who was Yaakov, renamed Israel, not Ishmael. This resistance never ends. It just morphs and mutates, with too many Jews participating in the aggression, like the High Court in Israel. By not throwing out of court the pleas of the anti-Jews here, Jewish and Arab alike, and working in cahoots. You know what these? You know why these homes at Amona must be destroyed? Because petitions were filed by Arabs claiming the land was theirs, and they were assisted in the procedure, and really goaded to this procedure, by Jewish anti-Jews in B'Tselem and Breaking the Silence and Peace Now. Amona sprouted as a result of Ariel Sharon being horrified by the Israeli government's Oslo insanity, and he said, take to the hills, and that was 20 years ago. But the claim of ownership to the barren land these modest dwellings were erected on was not filed until quite recently. Why is that? Where was the aggrieved owner over this land all that time? The truth is that these claims of land theft are bogus. Only the Israeli High Court looks the other way, accepts them unchallenged, I think due to some technicality. These claims of stolen land are largely as fictitious as the entirety of the claims of Palestinian nationalism. Only Israelis are too paralyzed by their fears and their fantasies to fight back. And then there is again, to repeat, that Muslim anti-Semite in the White House that the Prime Minister is still worried about.
עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, האומר הקדוש ברוך הוא. עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד, בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך.
אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, האומר לקדוש ברוך הוא, עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור תסתכל לבד. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור תסתכל לבד, בסדר גמור תסתכל לבד.
ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, and not surprisingly here, the Jerusalem Post, now in the hands of apparently a relatively new generation of non-religious Jews from the States, featured Reform temples this week in the States, providing counseling and comfort to those traumatized by the victory of Donald Trump. These Reform Jews, of course, have swallowed like a communion wafer the hysteria of those who, in his triumph, see a victory for haters and bigots who hate women, Mexicans, blacks, and, of course, Jews, because Trump is an anti-Semite. For sure, the rioters in American cities following Lady Macbeth Clinton's defeat should be, if possible, arrested for their sick and really juvenile vandalism. What in the name of sanity does smashing a storefront window have to do with Lady Hillary's defeat? For sure, it is a facet of the bizarre response among those of her idolaters who cannot see that it was her behavior with her emails that resulted in surely the greatest security leak in the history of security leaks, and her pay-for-play corruption and possible complicity in rape, although that's outside the current set of issues. It's as if these morose supporters this week never heard of these behaviors. And if so, America's in deep trouble. On the net today, there was a video of a guy interviewing students on the UC Berkeley campus, asking them after the elections if it was racist to demand voter ID. And one after the other, they said yes. Thinking of poor black people. Now, it is possible that this was an edited video. And if so, we have no idea how many he interviewed and how many spoke this way. Still, the impression was created that today's UC Berkeley students are brain dead. Better yet, they are hopeless narcissists for whom opinions reflect well on them, as caring people, but otherwise are the opinions of dumbbells. And this is very frightening. I remember in the 1960s, the UC system, University of Cal system, was the queen of state university systems, with Berkeley at the top of the line in the cult classic 1960s film The Graduate. The love interest is a student at Berkeley. Today, though, it does seem that American college students are hopelessly crippled when it comes to mature critical thinking. You know, their candidate lost the election, and that is because her rival is a racist, woman-hating, black-hating, Mexican-hating, Jew-hating bigot. And for this terrible turn of events, they need safe spaces to recuperate from the shocking election results. This does not, as I said last webcast, bode well for the future. Tragically, as noted last webcast, especially when 70% of the Jews in America are as stupefied as the rest of Hillary's idolaters. Israel Hayom newspaper today ran a small item on the new governor-elect in Missouri, a so-called Reform Jew married to a Gentile by a Christian minister. He is a Republican with a fine academic and military record, but surely his children, yes, two of them, are not Jews. And the odds are excellent. They never will want to be.
את הכוח לעמוד בניסיון הזה, בבקשה ממך תפקח בי את העיניים, לא אוכל בלעדיך יותר. אבא יקר, תעזור לי לראות שיש בי את האומץ להעז ולעשות. פחדים ועוצמה, יכולת פשוטה לקחת אחריות, אני ואתה, וכדי לעבור את הגבול הדמיוני שהמצאתי, אני חייב, חייב להיות אמיתי. ואם אין אצלי אמת אין אמונה, וזה כואב, קח את עיניי, תראה לי שהכל עוד פתוח לפניי, שאני עוד בפנים ואתה עוד קיים, שכל יום אוכל להתחיל מחדש, וכדי לעבור את הגבול הדמיוני שהמצאתי, אני חייב, חייב להיות אמיתי. ואם אין אצלי אמת אין אמונה, זה כואב, כואב לי, אבא יקר. אתה לימדת אותי לקרוא לך דווקא מן המצא. עכשיו אני עומד כאן כוכף עניך, ענה לי במרחק, לא אמות כי אחיה.
הכוח לעמוד בניסיון הזה. Last item, by evening, it turned out, the Legislative Ministerial Committee had voted to submit its bill, opposed by the Prime Minister for understandable reasons, to make legal the homes at Emona and elsewhere. This means the bill will be presented to the Knesset for the first of three readings, though the timetable for that was not announced. Okay, that's it for this evening, and I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Mihare Yehuda.